Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 42. We have a special guest with us today, Dave Crenshaw. Okay, so I've been following this guy on LinkedIn, and really he's got some great LinkedIn courses, and he is coming out with this book. It's called The Power of Having Fun. But this guy has been everywhere. Time Magazine, USA Today, Fast Company, the BBC. Those courses on LinkedIn that I was talking about have had millions of views. He's an author of three books, including The Myth of Multitasking, which was published in six languages and is a time management bestseller. The fourth book that's going to be coming out this month is The Power of Having Fun. As an author, speaker, and online instructor, Dave has transformed hundreds and thousands of business leaders worldwide. Now, this is going to be a mind-blowing podcast for all of you, because as our audience is financial services professionals, what Dave is going to talk about is the power of having fun. And Dave and I were talking right before we started recording the podcast today, and he brought up a couple points that I'm really excited about bringing up about working with financial advisors and financial services professionals, really from the core of who you are. So, Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Matt. Glad to be here.
Well, let's break down this new book that you have coming out here in September. Let's talk about the four parts of the power of having fun, and then let's switch gears a little bit and talk about how this applies to our listeners.
Sure. Well, by the four parts, I'm assuming you mean like the four sections of the book?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the first part is really just making the case for the power of having fun. And again, right from the beginning, my guess is the audience is going, wait a minute, is this about branding or is this about, you know, something else? Mm-hmm. But understand, I come from a practical standpoint. My background is in business. I've actually coached and consulted many financial advisors in their practices. And one of the things that I have to help people with first is getting into a good rhythm with their life. And financial advisors as a group struggle a little bit with this, mm-hmm. It's easy to get into the what can I bill per hour mentality. And what The Power of Having Fun introduces in the first section is just the idea that we need to get out of this mindset of relentlessly pushing ourselves. That is actually counterproductive. It gets in the way of accomplishing what you really want to accomplish, the success that you want to have. The second part is where I talk about the oasis. And if you think about what an oasis is in a desert, it's that place of refreshment and rejuvenation. And many financial advisors are in the desert, so to speak. They're trying to get to the other side of whatever it is, whether it's, you know, finally being able to leave their career and retire, bring on partners, or just reach a certain milestone. They're trying to get to that other side. But they need to have breaks for themselves, little brief personal oases that will rejuvenate them and help them be more successful in what they're doing.
Let me ask you a question about that, Dave. So
sure.
This break that you're talking about, psychologically, there's evidence that shows that having these intermittent breaks can make you not just more successful, but I'm assuming happier in life.
Yeah, I think the happier one we acknowledge and we get, mm-hmm. right? Who wouldn't be happier to have if we have more fun? But the success side of it is very interesting. And I'm not going to bore you too much, but there is a little bit of science that you need to understand. And that revolves around the role of dopamine mm-hmm. in learning. Dopamine is the naturally occurring chemical in your body. And when you allow your body to experience dopamine through a positive moment, it increases your ability to be creative. It increases your focus. It allows you to accomplish work faster. And so sometimes people say, I'll take a break. I'll have fun when I earn it mm-hmm. or when I deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit like someone traveling through the desert saying, well, I'll take a drink of water when I earn it, when I deserve it.
Gotcha.
It's,
yeah.
It's absurd. We would never do that because we know that water is the very thing that we require. In the same way, having fun is the very thing that your body requires in order to be more successful and to perform better. Therefore, it must be a priority in your day as you're planning out your week is within all the meetings that you're going to have with clients, mm-hmm. within the marketing time that you have scheduled to grow your brand. There also needs to be pockets of time dedicated to just having a little bit of fun. You'll perform better if you do.
Now, you have three other oases. I don't know if that's a word, but whatever. Oasi, I'm not sure.
Oasis.
Okay, good. So you have the personal oasis, the family oasis, and the work oasis. Break each of those down quickly for us.
Personal oasis is about you doing something fun for you, not what somebody else defines as fun, but what you define as fun. For example, I like to play video games, which may sound like a strange thing for a 42-year-old man to admit, but that's my personal oasis. Mm-hmm. So you got to find that and schedule that in your day. Next is the family oasis. And by family, I'm using the broadest possible definition. I mean the people in your life that love you and you love them, they also need to have these breaks. So you want to talk to them and create a schedule for when we're going to do this. The most basic, of course, is to have a weekly date if you're married, but also, you know, time for your children or other loved ones. Mm-hmm. And then the last is the work oasis. So both for you and if you have employees, you need to create a regular schedule of breaks to occur within the work day itself so that you and the people who are working for you can get maximum performance throughout the rest of the day.
Now, Dave, I personally play video games during the day while I'm at work. Is that a bad thing?
That actually would be a problem based on what I'm saying. Because one of the aspects that I talk about in The Power of Having Fun is the importance of the schedule. The difference between idleness and recreation is the schedule.
Oh.
So for instance, my schedule is at 4:30 each day. I work from home. That becomes my virtual commute. You know, I even tell a story about a business owner that I worked with who was playing video games throughout the day, but because he was doing it like that haphazard without a schedule, he was probably spending 20 hours of an 80-hour work week playing games.
Oh, wow.
And so when that came out, he's like, oh, you're going to tell me to stop playing. And I said, no, I'm not going to tell you to start playing. I'm just going to tell you to get smarter about it.
Gotcha.
And so what we did was we created a schedule where instead of 20, he played 5.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did that help his performance because he did it in a strategic way, but it also helped his relationships when he went home because he was now more relaxed and able to be with his family.
Let's talk about that mindset, the relaxation or the freedom that scheduling fun has within your business. So we're going to switch gears into business here, and we're going to switch gears into the marketing and branding aspect of this. So many financial services professionals, their brand is themselves, right? So they're Halloran Wealth Management, which is my last name. How do you incorporate this sort of power of having fun into either marketing or branding?
Well, I'm going to start with an analogy. I don't know how many people here play golf. I'm absolutely miserable at it. But one thing I know about it is that if you are too tight on your grip, that's going to cause all sorts of problems with the ball,
mm-hmm.
right? It's going to go all sorts of unexpected places. If you think about when you're running your business and when you're interacting with customers, if you are wound up too tight, if you are stressed, if you are pushed to the edge, that has a direct reflection on every interaction that you have with your customers. Even if you're trying to build a brand that is not you, it's going to reflect in the way you talk to them. If you have employees, it's going to reflect in the employee loyalty and the way that they represent your brand, which can have an influence in the kinds of reviews that you're getting on Google and Yelp or wherever. And so it's so critical to create a culture that embraces the power of having fun, not all the time, but on a consistent, scheduled, strategic basis.
I was just reviewing a marketing plan with one of our clients here at Top Advisor Marketing, and we were looking at their social media. We offer a social media, complete done-for-you social media service for financial services professionals. And we were looking at what posts were doing better, and we create curated material, right? Which is material based off of, like, exactly what you just said there, Dave. So let's say you wanted to post something about video games, whatever. I'm choosing that as an example. Well, if your audience knows that you like video games, that post, because it's a personal post, is going to perform better than really dry stuff, right? And so this advisor had posted a picture of him and his family doing something outdoors. They're huge outdoors people. And he was really frustrated because he didn't understand why that post had 900 views 86 clicks and like 40 likes, but his thing on the market commentary only got 4 or 5. Can you explain that?
Well, it's because other people also need to have fun. They need to have breaks and to feel that they, you know, they just need that time. But also the aspect that people in our culture are very interested in the person behind it. You know, this is something that I actually heard from an interview with Jerry Seinfeld. And he said, you know, a lot of writers have, or a lot of comedians have other people do their writing, but it's really dangerous because people are obsessed with the person behind the material.
Yeah.
And I think that that's not just true about comedy. I think that's true about business. Gone are the days in the 60s, 70s, 80s when a brand could be a sterile logo on a picture.
Yeah.
And we could just hold that up with a slogan and we're going to get people to come. No, they need to feel a connection to the company. It's why people are obsessed with Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Amazon is massive and does almost everything, we still want to know what Jeff Bezos is doing.
Yeah.
We still want to know what Richard Branson.
Yeah.
We still want to know what Richard Branson is doing. Yeah. We were obsessed with Steve Jobs, still are to a large degree. And people want to know the real you. But if they see a real you that has no life outside of business, that's not compelling. That's not going to attract the kind of customers that I think you want.
Our advisors have a really hard time with that. Dave, you and I were talking a little bit about that before we started recording. Do you have techniques or other advice for our advisors? So when we are talking about marketing, branding, or when they're doing their marketing and branding, that they're a little bit more loose, that they're a little bit more relaxed and receptive.
Yeah. First of all, I think it starts with you as the person. Okay. We'll get to the branding in just a moment. Because you must come from a place that understands what drives human emotion, what drives people to decision. The best branding in the world always taps into what people feel deeply. Now, contrast that with what I experience with many leaders when I start coaching them, which is they are disconnected from life in general.
Hmm.
They are so driven to succeed and go, 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 go. And they're multitasking all over the place. And it's always about the next thing, the next box that I can check out of my to-do list, that when a fun moment happens, they fail to recognize it.
Hmm.
And, I'm going to give you a personal example that I share in my book. Because I'm a productivity guy and I teach this stuff to be efficient, to get things done, right? Well, my daughter gave me a card once. My daughter Ella, she's 8 years old now. And it was this, you know, cute little card that a 8-year-old girl might make that says, "I love you, daddy. You're the best daddy in the whole world," that sort of thing, right? And I put it in my inbox, just like I teach people to do in my time management fundamentals course on Lynda and LinkedIn Learning. I picked it up and I processed it the way that I teach people to do it. What's the next step? Well, the next step is I want to keep this, so I'm going to put it in a file folder. When will it be done? Well, I'll do it right now. Where is its home? Well, its home is Ella's file. And I started to walk to the filing cabinet, and then all of a sudden it hit me. My gosh, I'm doing the very thing that I tell people not to do. And so I went back and used a different process. And here's a process that I recommend everyone listening do. Understand, what I'm going to tell you sounds touchy-feely, but it is not. It is based in brain science. And what we're trying to do is rebuild emotional neural pathways that you have that just might be dormant. Okay? Here's the process. Brain, heart, mouth. So what I did with Ella's card is using my brain, I just intellectually acknowledged that something happened that was good. This was nice to get a card from Ella. That's all you need to do. But what it does is it puts a stop sign in your brain and says, something good just happened. Then heart, you ask yourself, how did this make me feel? So if you're spending time with a family member, how does it make me feel? Or if you're just going out riding your motorcycle, how does it make me feel? And so in Ella, this case with the card, I said, well, this makes me feel wonderful. It makes me feel great that she cares about me. And then mouth means that you take it into the physical world. So you can just say out loud, this feels great. Or you can write it in a journal. Or you can do what I did with Ella. I made her another card. I'm horrible with that. So I went onto some online website, right? Put the pictures in, printed it out, gave it to her. But not only did that help me start to restart my ability to feel things emotionally by rebuilding those neural pathways, but it's a wonderful thing that every time I tell that story, I can feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it made her week to get that. Now, that was a long explanation. Should I move into how that connects with your branding?
I thought that was fantastic. Yeah, go right ahead. That was a wonderful story.
So when you do that consistently, when you start to build that connection to emotional, positive things that happen, that gives you more awareness of what sort of things will be meaningful to your customers. So when you put a post on social media, are you just putting up a dry post about, oh, this is what's happening in the money market today? Or can you put up a post that says, here's why what happened in the money market today matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why this impacts your children. Here's why it will impact your happiness over the coming year.
Hmm.
And that kind of marketing and branding is much more powerful because it's tapping into human emotion.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you a little bit about events. Our advisors do a lot of different sorts of events to not just increase the relationship and the depth of the relationship with their existing clients, but it's also a good way to get to know the advisor in a non-sales environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this amazing advisor out in Oregon that I work with. All of his events are fun. So he does three major fun events a year. And one of them he does is he does this luau. Now, I want to make sure that this is in line with what you're talking about because it is scheduled. Okay, so he has it firm on the, and he's inviting people to a very specific sort of event. They've got a lot of fun collateral around it. And then when they're there, they do things that are fun. He gets involved in limbo contests and all of that sort of stuff. So how does that, an event like that, play into your overall philosophy here?
Yeah, I would say that what you just described is most of the way there.
Good. Okay. But I'm not all the way there. So take me all the way there.
Because,
yeah.
Like you said, because it's scheduled, because it's fun, because it seems like something that most people would want. The one aspect that I would look for is how can we make an event more broad-based? Or how can we make it more self-selective? Because one of the things that my research shows is that when people choose their own activity, it's more fun. So I'll use a different example for comparison's sake.
Okay.
Sometimes a company will want to build employee loyalty by doing a fun event. So the business owner goes, let's go have a company bowling day, right? Well, that's great for the 40% of the people in the company that love bowling, but it alienates the other 60%.
Yep.
So if I were to do an event that was scheduled, that had been inviting people, I would try to choose a location that gave people the opportunity to choose for themselves.
Hmm.
So for instance, like a fun center, right, where there's miniature golfing and there's video games and there's roller skating and, there's something to choose from. That gives people self-selection. That's the only thing that I would suggest on that.
Gotcha. That's really good advice. And I'm hoping that our listeners realize that having events like that are such a great way for people to see you outside of the what you are and how you generally identify yourself and connect a lot better. It's a lot easier for me, Dave, to refer somebody to you if I have a personal connection. You can be great at what you do, but if I don't really know you and if I don't feel like we could, have fun together, I don't really know if I'm going to refer.
Yeah. It's two thoughts come to mind with that. One is that this relates to another course that I teach called Building Your Professional Network. And one of the things that I suggest is that you look for loose bricks. And a loose brick, we all have these walls built up around us,
mm-hmm.
right? The professional persona. And a loose brick is a hobby or an interest that a person has. And so if you can, in your branding, as you're interacting with customers, look for the things that are interesting to them and then do things that are personalized to that. Like, I met a guy once that was really interested in classic Corvettes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a small thing for me to go on Amazon, find a book about classic Corvettes and send it to him as a gift
mm-hmm.
with a nice note. You can do those kinds of things. So that's one side of it. The other side of it, too, is, you said you want people to see you at these events. If you're not already in the habit of having fun,
uh-huh.
if you're not doing it a little bit every single day and a little bit every single week, then when it comes time to do one of these events that's big and you're trying to force it, right? You don't normally do this thing.
Right.
This is what Matt Halloran told me I was supposed to do to uh-huh. build my business. That's going to come across.
Yeah.
people are going to feel your awkwardness. Mm-hmm. So it's important to cultivate that enjoyment, that fun muscle prior to these events as well.
You know, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, and I can't wait to read your book, because I don't think enough people really understand the power of having fun. I also don't think they give themselves the permission. And that's, I was reading that actually, and it's in the first chapter, mm-hmm. giving yourself permission to do this. Not only do our audience need to give themselves permission, but they need to give their workplace permission. So would you mind just taking the last couple of minutes that we have today and talk about some suggestions you have for that work oasis to help our advisors be able to incorporate something that will increase productivity and have their employees just have a better time at work?
Yeah. So I'll put it in the context of just a little bit of science. Probably everyone listening to this is called the circadian rhythm, right? That's the sleep-rest cycle. Mm-hmm. And we know that the average person needs about 8 hours, but it varies. It can go from 6 to 10 hours as much, right? So we all know that we need that. Well, there's also something called the ultradian rhythm. And the ultradian rhythm is the cycle of shorter periods of time. There's an optimal amount of time which you and your employees can work until they need a break. And the average person needs between 90 and 100, needs a break at about 90 to 120 minutes. And if you couple that with a study from the Energy Project, they found that when employees have supervisors that encourage people to take breaks every 90 minutes, they are far more creative, they are far more focused, and they are far more likely to stay with the company. So what you want to do, the most basic thing, we don't have to get complex, we don't have to create some big program. All you want to do is create space for your employees to just take a break, let's say 3 times a day. So I'll give you lunch, we'll count that as a break. So all you need are 2, 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon. And encourage them, not just say, hey, you can take a break if you want, because that's people are not going to take a break if you do that. You say, I want you to take a break in the morning. I want you to take a break in the afternoon and do whatever you want to do for 10, 15 minutes. You want to watch videos of cats laughing on YouTube, you go do that. You want to go run around the block, go do that. But please take a break, because you'll be better, you'll be more rested, you'll be a better employee for me, and you'll be happier. And watch what happens. Just test it for a couple of weeks. Watch what happens to your workforce. And I believe that you'll be shocked at what that simple thing will do in terms of everyone's energy, enthusiasm, and happiness.
Dave, our audience loves due diligence. And so they're always looking for research that supports whatever philosophical idea they have surrounding financial services. In your book specifically, this new one, The Power of Having Fun, you are quoting a lot of real psychological and behavioral research, correct?
Yes, yes. And even, you know, if you go to powerofhavingfun.com, there's a link to resources, and there are well over 100 links on that page of studies that I used while I was building the case. Now, the interesting thing is, I am not so much of a guy like that. I'm not so much of a science guy. I'm much more of a practical guy. Mm-hmm. So the book itself doesn't spend the majority of the time, I guess, making the case. Mm-hmm. It spends the majority of the time on making it happen.
Oh.
And here's why. Because, you know, we can read a study from the Energy Project that says that, you know, people are 77% more likely to stay with the company. But, hey, what if you're in the 23%? Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm less interested in the experiments of other people and more interested in the experiments of you. Hmm. Financial advisors invest in things where they have seen a track record, right? Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if there's a track record for you. Hmm. Does trying this out work? That's why I said try that experiment for 2 weeks. If you try it for 2 weeks and everything's worse, well, then don't do it anymore. But what that does is it takes the pressure off of me and puts the pressure on you.
And I can't imagine that that's not going to make a huge impact in their everydays, huh?
But don't take my word for it.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I respond to the skeptics, because it doesn't matter what I say. What matters are the results.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't actually prepared for everywhere we just went, and I had a really good time with this, mostly just because I, as a business coach and consultant. I've been doing that for a long time. I just made the switch about 6-7 months ago into just doing podcasting and social media and branding. And I always talked about, and you used a different word that I hadn't heard before, about the rhythm. So there's a circadian rhythm and the what?
Ultradian rhythm.
Ultradian rhythm. So I had made all of my clients find out what that limit was. And we would work on that because I believe in working in short bursts of energy. Instead of me, and I know you wrote a book on multitasking, instead of me trying to do 15 things at once, I want to do one thing until it's done or until I'm done with that thing, right? And then I have a clearer vision to do other things. And in fact, I would love, and I'm sure you're going to be busy with the release of this book, but I would love to have you back on the show to talk about the myth of multitasking, because I know that was a huge hit for you and is a huge problem in our industry, not just for them professionally, but also with their marketing, because they're trying to do too many things at the same time and they're not doing any of them well.
Sure. I'd be glad to be back to talk about
it. Fantastic. Well, hey, Dave, thank you so much for your time today. It has been an honor.
Thank you, Matt.
Everybody out here needs to, by the time this podcast hits the street, The Power of Having Fun will be available. So actually, Dave, before you go away, what's the best place for them to connect with you? What's the best, if they want to hire you as a coach, if they want to hire you as a speaker, if they want to get your book, what's the best place for them to go?
Well, DaveCrenshaw.com is my official website. And if you want a quick link to Amazon, just go to Dave Crenshaw, Crenshaw with a C, DaveCrenshaw.com/fun, and that'll take you right to the book.
Fantastic. All right, everybody. Marketing and branding should be something that you have the right mind space, the right state of mind, like Dave was talking about, when you start working on this, because that is how you communicate not just what you do, but who you are to all of your clients. Thank you very much for listening to podcast episode number 42. We'll see you on the other side of the mic.